Join me in Matthew chapter 13, please. And in this part of Matthew's writings, we come to the end of that known as the section of the parables. And so we will consider these final parables here this morning. Wonderful teaching. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, please. Hear the word of the holy and righteous God. It is inerrant and infallible. We believe it to be true and trustworthy in all that it teaches. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. I do pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and to this time of preaching, and give us ears to hear this most valuable word. A question for you to consider. What is the one thing that you value most in your life? Give it a moment. What is the one thing that you value most in your life? I dare say everyone in the room, many in the room, will have different answers. There are many who consider health, good health, especially after a season of bad health, to be of great value. Your family would be the one thing that you might hold in high regard and give it great value. Your spouse. Your children. Would that be the thing? That child, those children. Maybe it's your money, or your ability to gain, or ability to make, is the thing you hold high. Is it yourself? Am I the greatest thing in my life? We were speaking of narcissism and such in Sunday school. And again, these are just random ideas. The thing you're thinking about probably is not on my list at all. But what is that one thing? It is said that if someone else could look at your bank account and your finances and study over a season of time, they could tell you what your most important thing is, because typically that's where we put our money. It doesn't hold true always. Let me submit one more. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. If asked tomorrow morning, not in a church setting. In church settings, we always answer Jesus as being the answer to the question. But tomorrow morning, if someone says, what's the most important thing in your life? Would Jesus Christ be that answer? You see, this is the essence of the parables, especially the first two. This thing that you've identified and most valuable in your life, have you sacrificed everything for it? Knowingly or unknowingly? Because see, here in the text, these two parables, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value, they both have a very similar point, if not the same point. And it speaks of the kingdom of heaven being that great, great treasure. And I can say synonymously with the kingdom of heaven, our relationship with Jesus Christ, because you can't have one without the other. So please follow me there. The kingdom of heaven being that great, great treasure that these two individuals, when found, they gave everything to have it. Possessing Jesus Christ as Savior calls for sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. The cross is a symbol of death, of putting everything to death to follow Christ. The essence of the parables. Let's first look briefly at the hidden treasure. Very simple, straightforward. The hidden treasure, a man working in the field stumbles upon a great treasure. Finding it, he buries it so no one else will find it. Not too evangelistic, is he? But he buries it and then goes away and sells everything he can, has, and comes back and buys that field. Now, there are many who will say, that is incredibly unethical. If I'm a man working on your field and I find a treasure on your field, does the treasure not belong to you? Not according to Jewish law. This is totally legal in Jewish law, that whoever found the treasure becomes the possessor of it. Well, if I could interpret and bring this message out to you in reference to the kingdom of heaven and the great treasure, this speaks to a person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yet through a sequence of events, occurrences in their life, they find themselves at a point what we might call, as Blackaby says, a crisis of faith. Because of a sequence of events, you've come to that crossroads and you're looking for answers. And they find the answer in Jesus Christ. They stumble upon that great treasure. They were not looking for it. But through God's providence, bringing together a sequence of events, the person stumbles upon that great treasure, Jesus Christ. And then, as the parable gives, they see that beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ and they commit their life to it fully, totally, selling everything to have that relationship. Let me give you two examples of individuals who fit this bill. First of all, St. Augustine of Hippo, North Africa in the 4th century. He was eventually the bishop of this area. But in the beginning, a great scholar, a great philosopher, was also a man who loved the women and loved the looser lifestyle, if I can say it that way, was not looking for Christianity at all, was not looking for any religious activities. He was a philosopher. So philosophy was his religion. Yet he was prompted by a childlike voice as he sat in the garden. And he heard a small child say, take up and read. Tole lege in Latin. Take up and read. His mother had been praying for him every day, it seems. And so he saw this childlike voice as a divine calling. And so he went and picked up a Bible. The story goes, and we pray history is closely accurate. He picked up the Bible. It fell open to Romans 13. And he just began reading Romans 13. He read this. Remember his lifestyle. He read this. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies. Not in drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and sensuality. Not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he read that text, the Holy Spirit rushed in and converted that old heart. He was born again, and St. Augustine became one of the great, great, great church fathers of the 4th century. Today, people are still reading his works and giving him attribute for his great teaching. You see, here Augustine was doing everything but looking for Christianity, yet the Holy Spirit brought him to this place. He found this great treasure, and he began putting everything he had into it. And as I said, he eventually became bishop of the area of Northern Africa. Isn't it hard to imagine that Northern Africa used to be the center of Christianity? Think about it. But it was. My second example, one a little closer to home. A gentleman stumbled upon a great treasure when he was not looking for it in anything but. My dear friend Bob Hovey, Some of you know Bob well, 6'8", former pastor down at the Huntersville Church that persuaded me to go to seminary. Bob was not raised in a Christian home. Had a father that was totally objectionable to the whole thing. Yet after the death of his friend in a boating accident, at the funeral, Bob's heart was pricked by the Holy Spirit. Bob then was born again in Jesus Christ. He quit his job, sold everything he had, moved his family and all to Orlando and began seminary, and he's now the pastor of Sun Life Church in Jacksonville. He wasn't looking, but yet just as the parable gives us, stumbles upon it. And the Holy Spirit converted. The kingdom of heaven will find those whom the Father has called in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's Jesus who said, I will build my church. The person may not be looking for it. It may come upon that individual through a circumstance, through a series of events. How many of you in this room have witnessed individuals who either have come to faith or have been deeper in their faith because of a tragedy of life? I could point to several. The second parable makes a similar point of the value of the kingdom, but here we have a merchant of fine pearls who finds a pearl of greater value. Now, this parable speaks to the person who is religious, who may be involved in religious activities, not necessarily Christianity. They may be involved in various forms of religion, yet when they come upon the Christian faith, and they come upon Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit pricks that heart, they are drawn deep. Deep within. They are converted or deepened greatly in their faith. And they realize the beauty and the majesty and the wonder of a relationship with Jesus Christ when they've been searching all over for that truth. And yet when Jesus Christ comes to them through the Spirit, there it is. They sell everything they have it. Two examples for you here as well. Prime example, the Apostle Paul, a devout Jew, circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Yet when the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus knocked him off that horse, he found the treasure. He was no longer a religious man, but he was a converted man. And we know the rest of the story. The writer of the greatest volume of work in our holy text, the Holy Spirit brought him to a place and rescued him from his searching. Just like our parable, a merchant involved in the business, but yet found the greatest of treasures. Another example for you who was involved in religious things, but when he found the Lord Jesus Christ, it changed his life forever. The great C.S. Lewis. Some of you may know his story well. He was the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia, is probably most known by us. He was a novelist, a poet, a great academic mind, a literary critic, a broadcaster, lecturer, the list goes on. Raised in a religious family, yet at the age of 15, professed to be an atheist. Totally rebelled to his mother's teaching. He also gained an interest in the occult, which you see a tainting of that in some of the movies, if you can see that. But then at the age of 33, the Holy Spirit used some men who were his counterparts, who were Christians. Also the reading of Christian writers, he was converted. And he argued everything against Christianity. He argued everything against God from a philosophical position. But yet when the Holy Spirit converted him, and he found the beauty of Jesus Christ, he found the beauty of that relationship which he could not understand in any other capacity, he became one of the great, great proponents of Christianity. Even today, 50 years after his death, many people still use his arguments for Christianity. Here in the parable, Lewis and the Apostle Paul, students of religious things, merchants of pearls, but yet when they fell upon that, when they discovered that greatest of pearl, sold everything they had to have it. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Again, the Father will have those whom are His through primary, secondary causes, secondary means. You may not be searching for the Jesus Christ at all, but yet you come to know Him. You may be searching all through different religions, but yet you find Jesus Christ. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because God will have His children, the kingdom of heaven. I could include myself here in this latter example, being a searcher of pearls and who finding that great one. I was raised in a Christian home. But when I turned 18 years of age, boo, I was gone into the corporate world. But yet at the age of 35, God used a man in Scottsboro, Alabama. See, good could come out of Alabama. And God used it to convert me, and when I found that treasure, I sat under the teaching of Jamie Hunt down at Cottle Creek, and he began to teach me the sovereignty of God, the beauty and the majesty of the providence of God and Jesus Christ, that I was His. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by my decision. And the assurance of faith that we now have, the assurance of faith as I was taught. Soon Judy and I sold about everything we had. Gave up good jobs. Went to seminary and here I am. Found that great pearl. Found that great pearl. Again, I ask you, do you consider your relationship with Jesus Christ as that greatest of treasures? Or is it just a thing you fit into your schedule? Is it a thing we do on Sunday? Is a relationship with Jesus Christ the greatest of treasures, the greatest of value? And have you sold everything, literally or figuratively? You don't have to be a pauper to be a Christian. You can do it as a wealthy man, wealthy person, held in right regard. So have we sold everything, literally or figuratively, to follow Jesus Christ? You see, that's the two parables. The kingdom of heaven is that great treasure. And whether you stumble upon it unknowingly, or you search and then you find. Now, those are the two beautiful parables that Jesus has given us. The next one's not so much. Join me at verse 47. Just briefly, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. You see, the kingdom of heaven, as it works and operates here on this earth right now, is like that great fishing net that is just cast out across the world. The gospel message being told and given across the world, you out scattering seeds, you out casting a net of the gospel, those nets, those seeds will draw in, as we learn, some weed, some wheat. But they are drawing in, and through that net, the gathering of the church is being brought in. And that's what we're in right now. The great net of the gospel is being cast out, and the church is being brought in, reeled in, just as a great net behind a ship. But look at verse 48. When it was full, and men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. These fishermen in this parable are the ones who draw in the nets. And they are of such mind and intellect, they can see the good and they can see the bad. And at the end of the age, just as we were told in the weeds and the wheat, they will be divided. The goats and the lambs, the same message is here. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous. And this evil, they will throw into the fiery furnace, and there in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, the paradox of the end of time. For some, it will be a joy surpassing. For some, the greatest of horrors. You may know of people who say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe in those kinds of things. just as we read last night, or last week, there will be those who will cry out for the mountains and the hills to cover them up, because they cannot bear to look upon the glory and the splendor and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The issue is, do you do it before death or after? I pray before. Look with me at verse 51. Jesus asks a penetrating question. Have you understood all these things? Now here, please encompass everything taught in chapter 13. Go all the way back to the beginning. Have you understood these things? Do you understand the parable of the sower? The seed being cast out, some along a rocky path, some along the path itself, some in thorns, but yet some in that good dirt. I ask you the question, were you good dirt? Are you prepared to receive that word of God? And is that a fertile field where that seed will take root and grow deep within you and you mature into the Christian he desires you to be? Or do the thorns of life choke out everything you've been taught? Are you the rocky crags where the seed may catch for a little bit, but when the chores of the world come, the sun beats down on it harshly like our grass out here, it dies and withers away? Which are you? Did you understand the parable of the weeds and the wheat? Now, this speaks to more of us as a church, I think, rather than individuals. What do we do with the weeds in the church? Well, we cut them all down. No, Jesus said not to. We teach them. We preach the gospel. We pray for conversion. We pray for the heart to be pricked, just like it was for St. Augustine, just like it was for Bob Hovey, just like it was for C.S. Lewis, that the Holy Spirit would come at that time appointed and prick that heart. We don't know. We just preach to everybody. And just like the fishermen at the end of time throwing away the bad fish and the good fish, Jesus said at the end, the angels will come and take those weeds and they will be burnt. Do you understand the parable of the hidden treasure? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is that treasure of the parable? He is that great pearl. Do we give everything we have? Do we invest all we have? Do we take up that cross to follow Him? Have you sacrificed, sold everything, literally or figuratively, so that you would be the one of this parable? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know the hearts of each in this room, even my ugly heart. And I thank you that you put together the sequence of events that put me in a room with a man who taught biblical truth. And that great treasure was revealed. And through your spirit, I had the wherewithal to latch on. Father, I pray that those in this room have done that, are doing that, or will do that. Father, life is hard. The thorns are out there. The rocky crags are there. And it's hard to maneuver through life, being productive, not getting caught up in the carousel of this so busy world. Maybe it's time we got off. Maybe it's time we stepped aside. Maybe it's time we did sell everything and commit ourselves. Bless those who have. Give strength to those who are doing it. And give courage to those who know that's exactly what needs to happen in my life. Help us in these things. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.